Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
It is Tuesday. It is 8 o'clock. That means it's time to talk to our guy. Jeff Levering joins us each and every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. How's it going today?
Good morning. Every day is a good day after you beat the Cubs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, was yesterday as exciting as a regular season can be, regular season game can be?
It was up there for sure. I'd say Mother's Day was pretty awesome, too, the walk-off win against the Yankees. But certainly yesterday, with the stakes that are on the line and playing against the Cubs and an opportunity to, you know, put your pedal to the metal and your foot on their throat, in essence, 9 games is your magic number now. I'd say yesterday with the stakes at hand was as good as it gets.
Jeff, what do you think they're going to do with Harrison? Got pretty roughed up in his last outing. Velocity's down. What do you think their plan is?
Yeah, it's been a tough go for Kyle here recently. My thought is that you need innings. So however you're going to be able to get those innings is how they're going to do that. Does he start next? I'm not sure. Does he come out of the bullpen? That is certainly a possibility. But you're getting to the point where you can't option a guy and have him available for the end of the season because you just don't have enough games. And the injured list is kind of one of those things too. Because you're starting to run out of days. Mm-hmm. So for me, coming out of the bullpen is probably the best option for him. You do have some off days which are coming up, so you don't have to have that 6-man rotation. But certainly I would highly consider having him be a bullpen guy to eat some innings in the middle of a game.
Would you envision him potentially being a left-handed Chad Patrick? I mean, Chad probably they trust in higher leverage situations right now when you know, Chad has had to do that because I think he's got 5 saves or something on the year. But, I mean, that was a pretty big situation for Chad yesterday to come into and get the out on 2 pitches, you know, kind of cleaning up for Gasser. But would that just be the left-handed version? And what I mean by that, Jeff, is he's getting 2 or 3 innings when you're putting him out there.
Yeah, and I think it's clean innings. I don't think he comes in with guys on base. I think it's the DL Hall role before DL started really throwing well. So it's if your starter's going short and you need to buy some innings between innings 4, 5, and 6, he could be your guy. He could be your guy. But he's got to show it. The velocity's got to tick up. His stuff has to be better. And if he can prove that, then maybe he ends up on a playoff roster. But as of right now, he's not on the playoff roster for me.
So on the flip side of that, has Robert Gasser pitched his way into the postseason rotation?
Possibly. Right now you've got Mizorowski, you've got Henderson, and I would say Gasser is your third most reliable starter at the moment. I would say that he's thrown the heck out of the baseball. Is he going deep? No. Can he go through a lineup twice? Yes. So I think Robert Gasser certainly has done the things that he has needed to do, prove himself ready for the postseason.
Jeff, do you have an update on Woody?
He's playing catch, as far as I know. He did not go on the last road trip with us. So he was here. I think he stayed in Milwaukee and played catch. But he is just playing catch as much as he can and just trying to see what he can do. Again, as we talked about when he said he was going to avoid the surgery, I think that him pitching again this season is highly unlikely. But him just playing catch, I think, is a really good sign for him personally.
Jeff Levering joins us every Tuesday. He is on the Yingling guest hotline here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And just kind of going back to yesterday's game against the Cubs, I mean, Luis Lara, how many more amazing catches is that kid going to make in the outfield? And listening back to your call, because I was in the stadium, we got in the call, we're listening to the highlights on the post game on WTMJ, like there's still a surprise that he caught it, but should we be surprised when he's making these plays? Because going back and watching the replay, he is eyeing that thing up the entire time.
For sure. To be honest with you, I'm surprised the ball didn't get out in the first place. The ball was hit hard. It had the right launch angle. It had all of it. It just didn't get out. There was a little breeze blowing in from right center last night. I think that's what that may have helped it. It certainly didn't hurt Pete Crow Armstrong's ball that he hit the very next batter. But for Luis Lara, he's figured it out, right? There were some games out there in right field where it was not looking good for him. And he's had to learn right field on the fly in the big league level with that third tier, and those lights are different. I'd say he's taken it and run with it. He's made some great catches. He needed to make that one in yesterday's game. Is it a home run? Probably not, but it's certainly a double. Maybe even a triple, depending on how far the ball caroms away from Lara. But that was the game-saving catch. He just keeps doing it day after day.
Jeff, would you say the Central's wrapped up?
It's a nine. Magic number is nine with, 16 to play?
Mm-hmm.
Or 17 to play? I think it's... You win tonight, and you're pretty much done. So I think that it mathematically is very difficult for the Cubs to catch the Brewers as it stands right now.
Well, you mentioned winning tonight, so that means Miz on the mound. And it almost seems like he's sick of the – I'm not – the mound's not going to be an issue tonight, Jeff. It's just not, because they're at home and he yeah. knows. But he's made those road starts, and you can see it if you're watching on TV. You can see that front foot slipping out, and it seems like he's sick of answering those questions. He didn't want to give away the secrets that they're going to work on. I mean, what are they going to do if he has to make a road start in the postseason? Because that's going to be the big thing, is can he plant on that front foot and make that fastball what it needs to be? And that's one of the best pitches in baseball.
Yeah, well, now it's a thing, right? And it's out there. It's been out there for a month now, at least.
Why was this not an issue last year? Is it because
it may have been?
Is it seriously? Because I mean, everybody talked about it early in the season. The work that he put in his lower half, he went up a pan size. Is it because the lower half is that much stronger this year, where it's become an issue?
It certainly could be. There were times where he would spin out big time. He'd fall down after he threw pitches, but now he's landing better. He's got more balance point as he lands. It could be the thing. It really could be the thing. But you don't want to get your guys hurt, and he doesn't want to get hurt. Nobody wants to see Jacob Mizorowski get hurt. And if you don't trust your landing spot, there's no way that you're going to be able to throw with as much force as you would like to. You can't do it. So the Brewers do need to figure this thing out. And I don't anticipate any problems today, because again, you're at home, but his next start will come on the road. His next start will come in Pittsburgh. So we're going to have to find out what that's going to look like, more than likely Tuesday next week because of the off day. So for me, he just needs to fight through it mentally more than anything else. And doesn't mean he sets up on a different part of the rubber. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure what we're going to do, how they're going to figure that thing out. But all I know is that Miz needs to be the best version of himself if the Brewers want to make a serious run in this postseason.
And we talked about a lot last week about grounds crew. Do you think, grounds crew, when he's on the road, aren't going the extra mile to make sure that is as compact as he likes it, right? So you're right. He just kind of has to deal with it. It's like we knew when we played Soldier Field was going to be garbage when we played.
Right.
But what are you going to do about it? You got to play.
Sure. Back in the day, there would be grounds crews that would water down between first and second base so that base stealers wouldn't steal.
Mm-hmm.
For ground ball guys, you'd water to the hell out of the area in front of home plate so that all you get is ground balls and a bunch of mud balls, right? That's how you do it.
Yeah.
And that's part of being a home field advantage, right? I mean, Detroit used to keep the infield so long that Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker had to play basically in the middle of the infield dirt because the ball would hit and just basically hit like it was Velcro. It's just part of the way that the grounds crew do things. Now things are a bit more uniform these days, but you don't want to get anybody hurt. I know that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get anybody hurt.
Jeff, I forgot to ask you about this last week, so I'm going to ask you about it now, because you had the opportunity. You got to do a Fox game with John Smoltz. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, who was more excited to talk to who? Was Logan Henderson more excited to talk to John Smoltz, or was Smoltz more excited to talk to Logan Henderson? Because it seems like Smoltzy absolutely loves Logan.
It's a pretty good love affair, for sure. So I was walking with Smoltz in the clubhouse when he saw Logan, and Logan lit up. You go, oh my gosh, this is amazing, getting a chance to talk to John Smoltz. And if you really think about it, it's been a long time since Smoltz pitched.
Mm-hmm.
So these younger guys may not have an idea of who these pitchers are, but maybe Smoltz because he does the World Series mm-hmm. and he's still on TV a lot. But, you know, who knows who Tom Glavine is, right? Of that era. Yeah. Even though he's a Hall of Famer, he's not around very much. You kind of know who he is. But Logan was eager to see him. And then we had him on the broadcast to talk with him on that Saturday. And I made a point to say how excited Logan was to talk to Smoltz and likewise. And then Logan pitched in a game Smoltz called on Thursday at Wrigley. So, I mean, that was, I was doing the game on the radio side, so I didn't get a chance to see how much Smoltz was gushing, but I'm sure he was.
Yeah. Well, what is it about Logan that he loves?
He's just a throwback, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just he goes out there and he competes. He's not a big guy. He throws strikes. He throws a changeup. It's not all about velocity. And I think that he just likes the way he goes about his business. And Smoltz appreciates that about Logan Henderson. And he's gone out there and he's proved it. He's been awesome. He's been absolutely awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the way he's developed, and as we started the conversation, is the second best pitcher. How did you think Dustin May threw the ball until we had the delay? Because it felt like he was throwing it a little bit better, and then he ends up getting charged with another run because they give up the run coming out of the delay, but the delay was too long, so he couldn't pitch. Was it looking a little bit better in those three-plus innings that he had?
Yeah, and Murph confirmed that, too, the next day. I think for Dustin, the first inning, there were some hard-hit balls. I mean, the home run, he doubled up on a fastball to De La Cruz, and he hit that ball to the surface of the sun. but after that, Dustin May's sinker was probably as good as it has been all season long. And I think if you can continue to stack those, you can start trusting Dustin a little more in situations. He'll need to make some starts. He'll need to eat some innings down the stretch. But if he continues to dominate with that sinker, I think that the positivity would be higher for Dustin.
Jeff, always appreciate the time, buddy. Have fun calling the rest of these Cubs games, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it. Talk to you from Pittsburgh next week. See you guys.
Jeff Levering joins us every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Again, yesterday was, I thought, about as much fun as you can have at the ballpark. I mean, it had everything, Chew. It had late-hitting heroics where the Brewers, you know, rally for, you know, a three-run, you know, bottom of the eighth to give them a 4-2 lead. You've got the heroic catch by not just Luis Lara, but Jackson Churio makes a sliding catch. He had great pitching early in the game.
Is the pitching
stadium
becoming a concern, though?
The starting pitching.
With May and Harrison?
The starting pitching. And I thought that the Brewers had that solved this year, right? Because they went to the postseason last year with two starting pitchers they trusted. Quinn Priester and Freddie Peralta.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cobbled together everything else. And that can work in a five-game series. Tougher to do that in a seven-game series because then you're exposing a lot of the guys in your bullpen. So I would say right now it feels like they trust three. Now, Gasser is going to have a shorter leash, right? Like you'll let Miz go as long as he can. You'll let Logan Henderson go six or seven innings. But for Gasser, you're hoping for four, and if you're lucky, you can get five.
Don't you hope that Harrison can get it back? Or
I don't know. You heard Jeff. As of right now, Jeff said, I don't think he's on the playoff roster.
That is crazy. Wow. All right.
And
think positive.
If you can't trust him, then yeah. So then it comes down to Gasser and May.
Yeah.
Now, I know Brandon Sproat's back up, but it doesn't seem like Sproat's going to be scheduled to start any games.
Yeah.
He's going to be coming out of the bullpen with Grant Anderson going on IL.
Is it just fatigue?
How
do you lose that much consistent velocity without being injured?
I mean, it has to be fatigue, but that's also concerning, Josh, because he's not even at his career high in innings pitched.
Right.
And it's not like he's, oh man, well, this is easy to see why. He's 30 innings over. You're kind of in that spot where this is about where you want to grow it. He hasn't even hit the career high number.
What I'm confused about is why there seems to be no explanation.
Yeah.
He went on the IL,
yep,
came
with the
back,
forearm tightness.
Right. Came back, and then it's like, well, he just doesn't have as much velocity. What do you mean? Where did it go? What happened?
And that could be, I know Dom Catronio, who does the Brewers extra innings over on WTMJ. I mean, he's talked about how the arm angle has kind of dropped a little bit. And, you know, the Brewers want to get a little bit higher. It's dropped a little bit. So that could be a fatigue thing because he's throwing that many innings and pitches from a different arm angle. Now his arm's dropping and he just can't get the same velocity. That's the best I've got for you, Josh. I'm not sure if that medically makes any sense.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't make sense, and they don't seem to be giving him the, well, he's hurt.
Because he's, I don't think he is.
Yeah. Figure
dead
it out.
And I think that's, yeah, it could just be a dead arm thing. That a lot of pitchers experience, you just got to fight through. But
hopefully he can get it back, because we need him.
Well, it felt like Drouin was going to be the odd man out in the rotation. Now it seems like that's going to be Harrison. Because you need somebody to cover those innings, unless they give Sproat another opportunity to start.
Yeah.
And actually drop Drouin, but they've got some options
right now.
But it kind of but that would have come at the expense of Henderson, who I was okay giving up, and now Henderson's been your second best pitcher.
True.
Because I mean, if you had traded Henderson, you'd still be in the same spot. You'd have two starting pitchers you trust.
Yeah.
Be in the exact same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guys that you thought were going to be there just haven't been. And now, honestly, Chu, that's the biggest thing for the Brewers the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The rest of the regular season, it's figuring out who you can trust to start games for.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hitting's going to come and go. Maybe you're figuring out if Yelly can sustain what he was able to do in the month of August. But I think you've got a pretty good idea of what the lineups are going to be lefty-righty dependent. It's kind of
concerns all around. Every team.
Yeah. But the Brewers do have the best record in baseball.
They do. And they're
Jeff
winning
said,
ball games.
Yeah, they're still figuring out a way. It's just, okay, how can you maximize what you do in the postseason? Yeah. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're getting ready to propose, you already know what I'm going to say. It's the Jewelry Center. It's the place to go. It's what I did. Now, I knew what my wife wanted, or kind of had an idea. I went in. I went through the process with the Jewelry Center, took a look at some rings, ended up picking out the one that my wife absolutely loved. Baby, you don't have an idea. Go to her Pinterest page, see if there's something there. What separates the Jewelry Center for me is the helpful team. They want to make sure that that dream ring becomes a reality, whether it's something they have in stock or whether it's something you maybe want to help them design, because they can make a custom ring that's done right here in Milwaukee. Whether you're looking for that custom engagement ring or just want something nice like diamond earrings, gold chain, they've got you covered. Check out the Jewelry Center, Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, or in Mequon.